This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say something because it was taking a second.
11 o'clock hour.
Uh-huh.
It's Cody and Gold.
I was going to ask. So my class, I start teaching in like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Or a week? Oh my God, a week.
We didn't get any of your students.
Professor
to come
Tapp.
In. I forgot.
We'll have a new segment. We'll have a new segment starting next week. Mm-hmm, my professor gig is up to two classes this semester.
Hey.
I'm going to go check out one of my new classrooms today. They changed all the tech in it, so I got to go figure out how to like hook up my computer.
Oh, it's like
it.
Approve it?
Well, not even like, just so like I know how to use it.
Wait, is this the same class? Is it the same class twice or is it two different classes?
No, two different classes. I'm now.
One is baking 101. And
you might as well teach that at this point.
Very proud of my birthday cake.
The Donkey Kong cake looked very good. You did a very nice job with that. Baking 101 and then singing 105 or 110. 110. Actually.
Shockingly enough, they allow me to teach two different 300 level classes. Can I ask just a brief question about what we think protocol is? So next Tuesday, first class, we go through it. Am I supposed to like teach that day?
Or can no, go through
or
the syllabus?
Is it cool to just be like expectations?
How long is the syllabus?
Oh, yeah. Did
or
you get an
syllabi?
I can't get them down.
How long is a syllabi?
There's too many things they legally require you to add to them. They're like 20 pages each.
What?
So, like, I don't expect them to read them. I can just give you the brief rundown, you know, the
now,
first
do you just
day.
Send a digital copy or are you actually printing that thing off?
Not printing it.
You just go, you're just going to send it to them.
You can go find it.
Okay,
there's a requirement to have a syllabus that is 20 pages
No, not pages.
Long?
He's saying like there are government like laws and stuff that have to be in the back end of the syllabus.
Because it's a state university, I have to include course policies on dropping it, course policies on harassment, course policies on weeks and classrooms off, and course statements, and you know, there's just like stuff you have to include.
Legal crap.
That way, you know, if they come and say Cody didn't say this, I'm like, well,
I feel like that all should be just like publicly available, where you don't have to include.
I'm still upset. We never got a student in studio after the semester ended to give an official
offer it to one of these two classes.
When the semester ended, I wanted to have a student come in here give us an official, honest opinion after their grade was submitted, so there was no issue.
A report card on you.
A report card on Professor Tapp. We never got that.
No.
Now, the fact that the university brought you back is a good sign. So that's very good.
300 level classes, Cody. Yeah.
They already asked me back for next semester, and I haven't even taught this one yet. Jeez. They got to work ahead. You know how this works.
I guess so.
Somebody said, did everyone pass? What am I legally allowed to say? Am I allowed to talk pass fail?
You can say yes or
no.
You
just can't say the student or anything. You can say, did everybody pass your class?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Did one person get close to not? Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Only one. Dicey.
As the semester went on, did attendance just dip drastically?
For the one student, yes.
Yeah.
Overall, enough. No, I'd say it's mostly the same. My attendance policy is the same. There are things that we only do in class, so I would recommend you're there because, like, those are things we do in class. But outside of that, I think it's about the same. The classes are only an hour and 15 minutes each now. Drew, so I'm 2 days a week instead of one.
Okay.
So I think on that first day, it's fine to just be like, here's the syllabus, here are the expectations, here's what we're going to learn. Do you have any questions? Yeah. I'll see you Thursday.
Class should not be the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I need to see somebody asked on the text line if you have a Rate My Professor page yet. And
I was trying to set one up.
But I don't think it was up there yet. I don't think I have a Rate My Professor page.
I don't see anything.
For this show's purposes, that's a really bad thing to have.
Outstanding.
I don't think I want to rate my professors. And I haven't gotten, I've yet to get a student that's like a big fan of this show or anything yet. So like that always feels like I don't think you want that.
That's not good for anybody involved in that situation.
I'm going to have to rely on some of our TV friends because the other class I'm teaching is radio and television performance.
Yeah, you better start having some. Yeah, you're going to have to have guest speakers from Rob Collins or somebody like that.
And I would need to see if Rob will show them around Fox 4. Tell him the real dirt.
It sounds like you got to buy Rob some lunch or something at some point.
I'm going to make him take come on 20 kids.
It sounds like he needs a cut of the stipend.
A cut?
He's going to be teaching his class with you.
I didn't say he had to co-teach it. I just said he could, come in and talk to the class. Give a little words of wit. McKenzie could come give little words
Someone
of wisdom.
Someone wants to know, are you going to have time for songs on this show now? Are you going to have time for the show with multiple classes being taught?
Who's to say we can't just do that during class? This is radio and television performance. Sometimes that includes songs.
You ought to rename
it. Work on a song for the whole class.
You should rename your class the fan club and just have a fan club of, have Harold and Rob and Mackenzie all in and just collectively.
Missing the drink element. Since most of these kids probably aren't 21.
You'd have to take that off. But
I still think I'd like to offer to buy a beer for some of the kids in the class at the end of the semester.
No, you don't want to do
You guys
that.
Said that's a no-go.
Yeah, because
I've had many drinks with professors when I was in school.
Oh, like a year or so later I did, but
it depends on
you're actively in the same year that you're teaching class.
Cody, I'll also be honest, as an adjunct professor, I like if you're there
emphasis
the
he put
time,
emphasis on the junk there, you notice that
adjunct.
He meant to say adjunct professor.
I wanted to make sure I said it correctly and I didn't stutter over it. So anyways, I never have had all of my adjunct professors were cool and everything, but I never felt like I could. Do you feel like your students can go to you just to talk about whatever? I don't think you're as an adjunct professor. I don't think you're in that lane.
I did a fantasy football league with one of my professors while I was in college.
Were they adjunct?
Or fantasy baseball? They were. Yeah, they were not a full time professor.
I had multiple students reach out to me after the semester, so enough to confidently do that.
There you go.
This semester, I also had my first repeat student. So. Kid who's in my radio and television performance class, who's in my previous one.
Okay. Didn't pass it.
No. The first time I'll have a student for a second class.
Well, that's a good sign for you.
Are you the only one who's teaching this class, or is there somebody else? Because evidently...
I think it's just me.
I was going to say, because... Not saying they didn't, but... If there's somebody else available and they chose you, that's great.
So here you go.
But if they were stuck, then I don't know how they feel about it.
Last thing on this, 913-586-7965. Someone says, if you run into a professor, it's totally okay. You're both already at the bar, but you don't need to go making drink plans. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Run into a student in a bar, be like, let me get you a drink.
Yeah.
So you just need to hang out around campus a little bit more.
Next week or so, we will debut... Professor Tap segment. Mm-hmm. We'll explain that more next week.
We got some more stuff coming
We got some new stuff we're going to work in throughout football season as well. Hope you guys are having a good Monday. Let's get to a wild idea that's out there in college football before we get to some big NFL news from the weekend. So the Big Ten, we all know, along with the SEC, they know they have the power, and boy, oh boy, do they like us to know that every single time, okay? They remind
everybody.
They're
not afraid to share that.
Over the weekend, there was a story from ESPN that the Big Ten wants a 24 or 28-team college football playoff, and they are no longer pushing for a 16. This is where their energy is at. So first, let me explain how it would work, and then I'll tell you what I think is personally going on here. But the Big Ten, their plan... would mean in a 28-team model, the SEC and Big Ten would each get 7 auto bids, the ACC and Big 12 would get 5, and there would be 2 auto bids for the non-power fours, and then 2 at-large teams. Let's be real, those 2 at-large teams are probably also coming from the SEC and the Big Ten. So you're basically going to have a majority of the playoff, of course, which we already have now, but to a greater extent, come from those 2 conferences. The 28-team format would put 20 playoff games on campus. Now, we all like the on-campus size.
I love it.
That part's cool. So that I'm good with. But this is now what the Big Ten is pushing for, and they obviously are making sure it gets leaked out. I think, I don't know if you guys agree, I think this is to make the 16-team playoff with the Big Ten getting a majority of the bids along with the SEC more appetizing. Because now, if I tell you that the other option is 28, you say, well, 16 doesn't seem so bad anymore. I wonder if this is to try to make it more appetizing or palatable for everybody else that 16 is what they're going to get.
The only reason I don't agree or disagree, but the Big Ten has vocally said they don't like the 5+11 format, which is what the SEC wants if it's 16. So part of me thinks that they're not, that the Big Ten and has kind of just decided, well, we don't agree with what the SEC wants for 16. Let's just go and make it 24 or 28. I don't mind.
You don't hate this amount of teams?
The reason why, Cody, I don't mind this, but there has to be other things. There's other caveats. The format that they want, the Big Ten, is a format that is stupid. It's 7 Big Ten, 7 SEC. The Big 12, in fairness, gets 5 teams. The ACC gets 5 teams. And then the group of 6 would get 2, which is great. And then there's 2 at-larges. That, though, I think significantly reduces the significance and the importance, rather, instead of saying significance twice, the importance of rivalry games late in the season. Like Florida State and Florida doesn't mean as much. Because if you're automatically in the playoff, it doesn't feel like it's a win and get in sort of game. So that loses some importance there. But also, I think if they're going to do 24 or 28, they should do what the FCS does, lower Division One. All of the teams in conferences, the conference winners all get in. There's 10 conferences in FBS.
They're never going to do that. Make it the NCAA tournament.
I don't want Conference USA getting a free
Sun Belt team.
I hear you.
I'm just saying they should do it like the FCS does, because the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the ACC will still get more teams in. There will be 14 at-larges. That's fine, but it makes significance for the conference title game, where we're going down to the last 2-3 weeks of the season. Across the board, I think more people pay attention to not just the SEC or the Big Ten. They're paying attention to everything in all of college football. It's not going to happen. I also think the regular season should be reduced if they do go to 24 to 10 games, 8 conference and then 2 non-con. And Cody, I know you don't like the cupcake schedule.
No.
You get rid of that as well. Long Island, as you mentioned during our pre-show, is not playing against Boston College. Boston College is not playing Long Island.
Long Island.
Somebody else.
Sharks. Legitimately.
the Long Island Sharks.
Legitimately, if you are going to make the 5th team in the Big 12 a guaranteed playoff team, and that was TCU last year, I get it. Based on the NFL, based on its number, it kind of like looks like it fits, right, Gold? It's like, oh, they're 9-4. A 9-4 NFL team in the playoff, you certainly wouldn't playoffs. You certainly wouldn't balk at. But yeah, they played the Long Island School of the Blind for 2 of those games, and then it doesn't mean anything. So yeah, you got to get rid of multiple of the joke games. At least make the schedule reflect the quality of your team.
They have to be within the division.
They got to be a power. I don't think they
have to be power, because the conference already has it in there. Like if TCU,
you can have one non-power.
If TCU wants to play Sam Houston State, who's in Conference USA, then go ahead and do that. Sam Houston State's going to be solid this year as well. But TCU playing, if you have to play, because I think the whole argument with the SEC is, well, we don't want to play 9 because our conference is tougher. Everything is the same. The SEC has an 8-game schedule. The Big 12 would have an 8-game schedule.
I mean, you're going to get in if you're 8-5 out of the SEC. Who cares if it's tough?
And you're letting your league play determine more of your season than, like, Indiana plays Indiana State and a couple other, they play Kennesaw State, who all these schools stink because they're trying to do what the SEC has done previously and just schedule cupcakes just run through the conference.
Someone on the text line is blaming the NCAA for this. This is actually the one time where it's not their fault.
Nope.
The NCAA does not control the college football playoff.
It is
run by the college football playoff.
Mainly the SEC.
These are the conferences that are basically designed. This is the one time where the NCAA, I don't blame them for this current issue with realignment. There's plenty of things to blame them for. This is not the one.
You said you think that they're just doing this to make 16 more palatable.
Yeah, really think so.
Like, go with the egregious version in order to do it.
The Big Ten doesn't like the model that the SEC, like, they can't come to an agreement on the model for 16.
Right, but I still think it's putting pressure to get back to get, like, everybody, like, all right, do we really want to, Who really wants to get to 28?
They're trying to make an egregious proposal,
correct,
is what you're saying.
To make it more, you know, appetizing.
24 sounds crazy, but I think there's a way that it can work if you make it, because like you guys said, nobody wants to see Conference USA champion in there. I agree with that. But I also think that to an extent, nobody wants to see, for the sake of argument, we're not going to use Rutgers, but we'll use Iowa.
Okay.
Nobody wants to see 7-5 Iowa in the college football playoff when they punt all the time.
Here's
Nobody
the difference.
Wants to see that.
Here's the difference, though, that I think we're missing out on is that for the casual college football fan, who I think that this is geared towards if you did a 2014, the casual.
Agreed.
If right now that you say you go down to a 10-game schedule, if right now that game is Long Island School of the Blind versus them versus it's a playoff game of Iowa and these two teams, and they both have 7 or 8 wins, but it's a playoff game and one of them gets eliminated, I'm more interested in that game than week 4.
I will watch. I will watch, but it is like pathetic if we start having 8-win football teams in a college football playoff system.
I mean, it's
system.
Good for Kansas, Kansas State, it is Missouri. For it's good
three
for the
locals.
It absolutely is good.
It definitely is. Someone was saying that the Big Ten, we're not talking about the conferences expanding. We're talking about they're wanting the playoff to expand. The Big Ten's not adding to 2018. We're talking just, someone's
eventually
like, someone said, why are you talking about the Big 12? They won't exist if the Big Ten has 28. That's not what they're talking. This is just expanding the college football playoff. The Big Ten wants to go to 28.
And we haven't had any discussion on whether the Big 12 likes this or not. I'd be intrigued to see if Brett Yormark likes this idea.
We haven't heard yet. Yeah, we definitely haven't heard. All right, let's get to a huge story in the NFL over the weekend, and that is that the Cincinnati Bengals are listening to trade offers for their star defensive end, Trey Hendrickson. We all know he wants a new deal. He has not been practicing. He's been holding out or holding in, whatever you want to call it. Both. At this point in time, both, I guess, to be exact. I'm not saying that, I think definitively he's getting traded. I still think it's less than 50% chance he gets traded. But the fact that they are reportedly listening to offers and teams like the Panthers, the Browns, and the Colts are interested, that they're looking for, a starter right away or multiple draft picks and all that, the fact that that's being floated out there, most organizations, I would say, they're trying to pressure the player. It's Cincinnati we're talking about. I actually think there is a chance they trade him. This was a team that had the worst defense in football last year with Trey Hendrickson, and now you're saying we might trade one of the best defensive players in football.
The worst defense in football again.
I love my ticket on the Bengals at +118 to not make the playoffs if that's the case.
Did you so there's really a couple things at play here. The teams you mentioned who are interested, I think that's intentional. I think Cincinnati is threatening Trey Hendrickson with marooning him on Freak Island and saying, you can either take less money from us or we'll trade you to a loser. Do you want to go to a loser or do you want to have a chance to win a Super Bowl with Cincinnati?
Which is part of it.
Which is a crazy threat.
There's definitely pressure, and I would believe it more if it was, frankly, an ownership group that was different. Like Cincinnati, I actually think they might consider trading him.
The other part is they're never getting a first round pick. Someone looked it up. Do you know the last time a non-quarterback was traded for a first-round pick who was over 30 years old? 1994. It was before Drew was born.
They want players back.
I know, but
based on the reports, more than picks.
But they said they want a first-round pick.
The problem is, Drew, it's August 18th. How many teams are even willing to have the cap room and all of that to make a trade happen?
Patriots, I will say, their executive vice president today said, we're willing to give a first-round pick to make our team better this year. Did mention Trey Hendrickson's name, but sure as hell mentioned the fact that they've got a pick to burn if it means they get a player.
No secret here. I would love that. It'd be amazing if that happened.
I don't think he's getting traded. As a matter of fact, I think he's going to sign the week of week one. I think this is all... This is the thing, too, that based on... I forget who reported it, but it was for the last couple weeks this has been going on. Why wasn't it reported when it originally started? Because they're in the same position they've been this entire time.
No progress has been made.
I didn't see this as any new news at all. I don't think he's going to be traded unless, if Mike Brown wants to send Trey Hendrickson in a second for Micah Parsons in a fifth, be my guest. We'll do that.
So you think Cincinnati, who's not willing to pay Trey Hendrickson, is going to be willing to give up draft assets
for a four-year younger
for
player?
Micah Parsons and pay Micah Parsons the dollar amount which is more than Trey Hendrickson.
Yes.
The Cowboys, number one, wouldn't do the trade. Number two, I don't think your ownership group would be willing to pay Micah Parsons.
I think because he's under 20, because he's under 30, they would. The Bengals have this weird thing with players who hit 30.
Most teams do. Trey Hendrickson doesn't sign a lot of guys. Yeah. He's paid Chris Jones.
My thing is, you would agree, though, right? Without Trey Hendrickson, there is zero chance that team can get to where you think where you want them to get to.
They're absolutely not. You can take any sort of a contender situation for sure.
Yeah.
I think that the thing that would be egregious about it is if they did, I don't think they're going to trade him. If they did trade him, they have $30 million in cap space right now. Why are you not using that? They will have really dropped the ball with this
great ownership there in Cincinnati
with the having cap space available and not utilizing it,
pocket.
I can't imagine them not utilizing and having $30 million in cap space going into the season would be just
in the middle
it would be just
of a
crazy
in the
crazy.
Middle of a Super Bowl contending year. They are either going to pay Trey Hendrickson and use some of that money or not have it. And that, and it wasn't, he was never going to be a $30 million cap hit. So they were leaving money on the table either way because they're cheap and they don't actually care about contending. This is why I don't take them serious.
And this is the thing that I think people don't understand is that this whole time, the narrative was they can't pay all three players. They can pay all three players. It's just that they're not
will
at this
they
point.
Pay all three
yeah,
players?
Will they pay all three? The discussion was, well, surely they can't pay all three. No, they could pay Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Trey Hendrickson. The problem is they're just not willing to do so.
And, well, we're going to find out in about 3 weeks if they actually are willing to do that.
I will say this. If they pay Trey Hendrickson, nobody can say that Mike Brown is cheap anymore. I don't think you can say it anymore because he'll have offered top quarterback money, top wide receiver money, top DN money. That whole narrative has to go away, I think. Because people, well, he's not paying anybody, he's cheap. He pays people. Well, he's not paying Trey Hendrickson. If he pays Trey Hendrickson, there's nothing else that you can say about Mike Brown, and that narrative is just kind of crushed, I think, in that same sentence. If he's not cheap anymore, if he pays all three of these guys and Joe Burrow at the same time, like that narrative should be squashed.
That's probably fair from an ownership level. I think it would still be, you know, in terms of allocating resources, it sounds great. But like, yeah, I'm paying my quarterback and my two top receivers. But still, I still think whether Trey Hendrickson plays or not, that defense is going to suck. Like Joe Burrow, I've said all along.
How bad are they gonna suck? Going to suck? Because if that number has a Joe two in Burrow, front of it, they're better than they were last year, and I'll take it.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow can put up 4,500 yards and throw for 45 touchdowns. Jamar Chase will have 1,600 yards receiving, and the defense is still 26th.
They're making the playoffs. If they're
a fringe wild card team at that point,
which is fine.
That's where we're at. Okay, as long as we agree, that's what they are now. Then
if they can
really
get
low bar for team, it's supposed to be in a championship.
If they can get to 25th ranked defense, they can absolutely go on a run and make it to the Super Bowl.
But when you're paying Jamar 100%. Chase and Joe Burrow at the same time, this is the problem I have with them: the $30 million in cap space. The Cincinnati is definitively in their championship window.
Yeah,
and they have a window. Unlike their window is not just Joe Burrow's career.
It is
like it is with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Otherwise, they wouldn't miss the playoffs as much. I would normally agree with you, Drew. But in a championship window, they're just choosing to not spend money. It's crazy, crazy.
But that's who Mike Brown is, and that, at this point, it's what he's been. And I don't know. I would love to know what Heath actually is thinking right now. Like, do you not understand the window that you're in? Like, I think a lot of fans question his desire to actually win games.
I'm just wondering
that they've ever been in as a franchise in their history.
I will say this though. If I'm Trey Hendrickson, I'm saying, hey, where's Joe Burrow backing me up the same way he backed up T. Higgins and Jamar Chase?
Joe Burrow was asked about it a couple weeks ago, and he said the deal needs to get done with Trey. It's really disappointing. It's become a distraction. And then he said,
because
I think a lot of these deals are going to end up the way you see it more as they get done right before the season starts. And he said, hopefully it's going to get done before the season
starts. Because the reports were basically before with Chase and Higgins. Like, he basically was like, you better get this thing done or else kind of thing.
Same thing during Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Like, we need to pay Trey.
Yeah.
He was on Dan Patrick's show saying the same thing. It's just, it was obviously covered more because it was Jamar Chase and that's his boy from college.
Yeah. His buddies got taken care of already. I'm just saying there's one guy that hasn't yet, and it's Trey Hendrickson. It's going to be something to watch. I still would put it below 50% chance that they trade him. I'm kind of with you that I would still lean to him getting a deal done before the season, but it's something to watch for sure. All right, guys, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're expected to see a few players at the podium today. We're going to hear from Andy Reid as well right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
We are expected to hear from Andy Reid along with Josh Simmons in the next couple of minutes. We'll go out to Arrowhead as soon as they are available. Of course, you're home for Chiefs football, home for KC Sports right here, 96.5 The Fan. Friday night, final preseason game right here on 96.5 The Fan. That includes pregame coverage with Josh Briscoe on the Chiefs Radio Network, along with postgame coverage. And then Mitch, Danen, and Kling. And pretty soon we'll start our weekly visits up with the guys too. We already have Briscoe coming on Fridays. We'll be having Danen Hughes come on throughout the season. We'll be having Kling back on the show throughout the football season. So we're excited. We're getting close, guys. We're getting close, which is why don't stress out about what happens on a second preseason game on a Friday night at 9 o'clock in the rain in Seattle when
but
the starters aren't playing. Look, the defense.
But people
was,
were.
Look, don't run. The defense was a pitiful performance on that first drive in particular. Was so bad. But Trent McDuffie wasn't out there. Chris Jones wasn't out there. Nick Bolton wasn't out there. By the way, more appreciation for Nick Bolton. For those of you that like to hate on him, I think you realize that linebacking crew doesn't look too good when he's not out there, does it? They ran all over the Chiefs.
It looks susceptible.
How many starters were out there during the first drive? Four or five?
I don't even know.
Let's see. No McDuffie.
George was out there.
No Chris
Cook was
Jones.
Out there. Shamari Connor was out there.
I would say there was probably.
And those guys are more like on a shared.
I would
like
say true.
Jayden Hicks was out there.
I would say true starters, like one, if that.
A I mean, lot they had Shamari Connor and Cook.
Yeah, but
like
Cody said,
rotational
start out of that.
Not sure, but what I think what Cody's saying is like guys that are getting majority of the snap, you know, the high end amount of the snaps. Like your star players, your starters were not out there.
Dude,
anyway,
they only
whatever,
had,
I mean,
Charles
matter.
Was out there too.
Who?
Charles Aminu was out. He was out there.
He was in the third quarter. Again, rotational guy. He's not a starting defensive lineman for them. He's a rotational defensive lineman.
Who's starting at edge then? Dana?
Karlaftis and Dana, yeah, most likely.
And Charles I mean, Aminu, they're going to rotate in.
Maybe one of the two. I'm not saying there weren't zero starters. There definitely were some starters out there, but it was still a limited number. This goes back to the very first preseason game that you and I joked about, in which we watched Joe Burrow throw for like a gajillion yards, but also Cincinnati's defense get absolutely blitzed by, I can't even remember the name of the quarterback. That's how bad of a quarterback they were.
Tanner McKee.
Absolutely lighting them up. If I accept that as who a team is, well, then I have to assume what? The Chiefs are no good this year and the Bills also stink? The Bills got waxed yesterday.
Yeah, look, the games are about individual performances. We've said that. I mean, preseason's about individual performances, not the end result. And yeah, they're defensively, for some guys that will be, to what Drew's saying, in fairness, some guys that will be playing this year, obviously did not play well either. But I think we all know the defense is different when Trent McDuffie, Chris Jones, and Nick Bolton for starters are out there.
Totally.
Offensively, look, it was Gardner Minshew with a starting offensive line. But after that, I think there was one pass to Rashee Rice who got called back on a penalty. And that was it. I mean, Xavier Worthy didn't play. I mean, it was basically Robert Tonyan and a bunch of guys further down the depth chart. Robert Tonyan once again looked good, by the way. I mean, he's a lock for tight end three. I don't know how there's any question. I mean,
I'd be kind of surprised.
He looks really, really good.
But they only had 88 yards passing. So if you like stayed up late, you're locked into some Chiefs, Seahawks.
Sky Moore had drops, but then he had a punt return late.
I was locked into Sky Moore. I felt bad for him, dude. I felt so bad.
It started to feel like the yips. It started to feel like Chuck Knobloch throwing
really
to
bad.
First base.
Yeah,
there
was
a point
mental.
In that
it was
game.
Mental.
There was a part of that game where you're like, oh, Sky, you're a receiver. Your job is to catch the football.
Yeah.
And I was starting. It was beyond the like, let's joke. I genuinely started to feel bad for
I felt
man.
Terrible.
You know what we have to
I
do,
started
though?
To feel bad for them.
You know what we have to do? Like, technically,
tomorrow,
we have to name our official Camp Darling Island
I'm so. This
winner.
Game was so bad. I almost want to push
I'll tell you who's stopped.
I almost want to watch.
You want to wait till Monday?
I almost want to watch Friday's
we can.
Game. This one was such a
Brishard
dud.
Brishard Smith had some moments.
Such a dud. I don't even want to let it decide it.
Okay, we could wait till Monday. I will say this, though. I actually think of the names we've discussed that improved their stock. I thought Noah Williams was the biggest stock booster of any of the Camp Darlings. Remember, we have Camp Darling throughout.
Richard was okay.
And the remaining guys were who? Brownlee, Tyquan Thornton, right?
And
Jalen Royals.
Royals had zero catches. So if we were doing an elimination today,
I would say Royals is out again. And I would argue that Noel Williams is back on the island.
Yeah. It'd be him or Brishard.
And
he
it
had
really
like 40
comes
yards
down,
and a 10 yard run. So like, he looked okay.
At this exact second, if we don't wait until Friday's game, I would say it's between Tyquan Thornton and Noel Williams. And Tyquan Thornton would probably be the winner if I had to pick today.
Unless we're not ageist, in which case it's Robert Tonyan.
But he can't be a
big Bob Tonyan.
He's definitely
man.
A darling, but like I don't think you'd be a camp darling at age 31.
I agree. I don't. We discussed him like a week ago, and I felt the same way. I know we've been accused of being ageist on the show before. I just don't think you can be 31 and have played for like five NFL teams.
I don't think
and
he can be
then
the,
be a camp darling.
Yeah. Someone says Sky Moore punt return. Did that do anything?
For another team.
I mean, you know, I think for another team, he's not making this football team. We've known this for months.
He shouldn't be just off.
There's
that.
No way he thinks he's making this team. He has to just showcase himself so another team will sign him. And I think, and by the way, somebody else will sign him. Whenever he gets cut, somebody else will sign him. He was a draft pick. He's not, you know, he hadn't been in the league for 7 years. Okay. Like somebody else will give him an opportunity. We've seen this. The Chiefs do it with other players all the time. Somebody else drafted him, didn't get a lot out of him. And you think you can find something there and new change of scenery and all that. I always, for the Chiefs, I always think it's different because I'm like, hey, he couldn't make it work with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Why do I think it's going to work in Carolina with Bryce Young and Canales? You know, I'm just using this as an example.
Sure.
But somebody else will pick him up and he deserves another opportunity somewhere else. But
I thought it was cool that that all the players went and celebrated with him after
the Palmer turn. He's very well liked. He's very well liked in the locker room.
You just feel bad because of how bad the game was.
Got a great personality and all that. He just has not performed up to where he should be.
I think because it was West Coast football at 9 p.m. in a meaningless game. One more week. Okay. I think we wait until Monday to announce the camp, darling.
Who do they play?
And the three, I think the Bears.
They're going to play starters Friday night.
And right. I think the three people.
At Arrowhead, too, Drew. There you go.
I think the three finalists should be Noel Williams,
Tyquan
Thornton, and Breshad Smith. I think those are the only three players who have made a notable impact. We're bringing people back on.
I agree.
We're taking people back off.
Yeah.
Noel Williams back. Breshad Smith back. Tyquan's never left.
Yeah.
And between those three, we declare our camp darling. Let the final preseason game decide.
We can wait till Monday then. I guess it is Monday.
Because honestly, that game felt so meaningless. It feels wrong.
It's going to be weird.
It feels wrong to declare the winner.
Friday,
locked in.
Friday, Cody and I are going to be sitting in a sports book at Circa in Vegas after our show. We're just going to be sitting in a sports book watching Chiefs Bears preseason.
For the second year in a row,
I believe. I think last time we were in Vegas, there was Chiefs Bears preseason game, wasn't it?
Well, we watched a grand slam in the World Series when we were in Vegas.
The last time we were there. I mean,
the time before there was a preseason Chiefs game as well. The only other thing in the game that stood out to me is Kingsley Suamataia cannot pass block.
Oof.
And I am not the only person who's noticed it. We all have.
He got beat off the line pretty bad.
Pass block.
Are you?
He can run block fine. He can't pass block.
Are you on my side now a little bit more that at the end of camp, I said I think it's a 75% chance he wins the job, but I don't think it's over. Are you?
That's closer to the number.
Are you willing to go there on, hey, Mike Caliendo or Jalen Moore should be getting some more reps there this week, and you need to really think harder about Kingsley being your starting left guard? Now, look, worst case scenario, he starts at left guard week one. And we know they're willing to pull him from a starting job. And not that you want to ever do that, but could they start him week one and then give him one final shot and then you go? I wouldn't like to even do that because to me, the games are too important. It's a divisional game week one against the Chargers. But Jalen Moore, he can play guard. He can play guard if they need to.
They're also paying him.
They are.
So why not use him?
They are.
If the starters get two drives, let's say they get two drives on Friday because they are going to play. If they get two drives, one with Kingsley, one with Jalen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. He clearly has some physical attributes. And I'm not going to talk about like anchor points or the things that I only passingly have heard about used as buzzwords. I don't necessarily know all the different technique parts of it outside of it. But he can't pass block. I can watch that. He's getting bull rushed, sometimes he's getting speed rushed. He gets bullied a little bit in the pass block game. He mows some people down in a run block situation. So if the Chiefs really think that they can teach him guard and to pass block by the end of the season, I am willing to allow a guy to develop in the year and take their time with it. They've done that before and it's worked. So, if they don't think he can do it, then I would just go to jail.
I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, Jeff Schwartz went ahead and sent out a tweet where he kind of evaluated Kingsley and Josh Simmons a little bit. He said Kingsley looks solid in the run game, having issues in pass pro. He's allowing too much space before contact. He's got to strike quickly and with more power. I don't know if that's getting off the line. I don't know. But Jeff Schwartz went ahead and talked a little bit about that. He also mentioned something about Josh Simmons saying he feels like he's a little bit behind and he's too grabby. Kingsley, the big concern obviously is the run protection is fine. The run blocking is fine. It's the pass pro and maybe his quickness off the line to get in contact is the issue, according to Jeff.
It was really weird the way the in-game grading was going. I think it was Jesse Newell from The Athletic.
Yeah, he had like a 27 in-grade pass grade.
That sent out the tweet about it's a preliminary grade, but in 10 snaps, the preliminary grade, I don't know what the final grade was. We could go
look
it up.
I think it was in the 80s too.
The Chiefs' highest graded offensive player in the middle of the game was Kingsley at 86.8. The lowest graded pass blocker was Kingsley at 28.4. The highest graded run blocker was Kingsley at 89.2. So it's like,
it doesn't make any sense.
He can run block. Pass blocking's an adventure.
This also isn't the right team to be a good run blocker for.
Here's the problem. Pass blocking is an adventure is an interesting thing to say about a team who has a rookie left tackle too. Is that where you want to be? Do you want to be in the guessing game of the blocking system of the entire left side of your offensive line? That's what you did last year. And at the very least, for portion of the year, you weren't guessing about the entire left side. You were only guessing about left tackle. You knew left guard was locked down. You were squared away there. Simmons is not Trent Williams. He's not one of these left tackles who can just cover up every Kingsley mistake. He's got his own stuff to get better on and to work on as the season goes on. He can't just cover your ass the whole year. So, like, yeah, Goldot, I still think he's going to win the job. But I would, very much so, if I were the Chiefs, see what Jalen Moore looks like in practice this week and probably get him a drive at the starters.
We saw it at camp. I mean, he got reps at left guard. We also saw in the game, Jalen Moore got the first team reps at right tackle for Juwan Taylor. That was kind of interesting. We saw that throughout camp at times. I still think Juwan Taylor is a starting right tackle. I think it's just still, let's continue to get Jalen Moore a ton of reps at right tackle, because in 2026, I think Jalen Moore will be the right tackle for this team. So I think they want to have some options there. Juwan Taylor, do they want him to play on that turf in Seattle just because of the injury? Like, why even risk? I think there's a couple reasons why Juwan Taylor did not play.
I think the turf being a huge reason why. They're going to have to baby that knee the entire time.
Can we also agree that
cautious, but yeah,
if Kingsley doesn't win this job, or if he does get benched, it's done.
Yeah.
Oh well, yeah. If he does not win the job, or he loses it midseason, then yeah, it's over.
His time in Kansas City is coming to a close.
The pick was bad, and we can just go on from there.
Yeah, he has to at least salvage this thing. He has to turn out to be a very nice guard in the league.
Like, he can still be that, but it's not looking good. He's just a backup, where at least you're getting some value out of the deal. He might turn into that. Well, he's a backup guy, and he's better than our other backup guy, so I guess so be it. But yeah, he has to win the job to salvage the pick, sure. He has to be the starting. Yeah. He has to be a starting offensive lineman. Offensive linemen are simple. If you're taking in the first three rounds, for it to be a truly successful pick, you got to start. For it to not be a total waste, at least be like what bare minimum Wanya is, which is you're on the team, you're a backup guy, you can be used in occasional situations.
We are still awaiting Andy Reid and Josh Simmons, thinking of the offensive line, to talk a little bit about what they have had for the first few preseason games heading into the preseason finale on Friday night. As soon as Andy is at the podium, we will go out to Arrowhead. You are not missing anything right here on 96.5 The Fan. Going back to the camp, darling, someone did say, hey, don't forget, it wasn't a touchdown, but Jalen Royals did have a very nice return. The return happened during the Clark Hunt interview, so like it didn't get discussed very much. It was like in the middle of the broadcast when they had Clark in the broadcast booth, of course, talking about the Kingdom documentary. Did you finish the Kingdom documentary?
I have an episode left.
I did. It's very, very well done. I think you'll like the final episode or two more, because it's literally about, like,
they talk a lot about Dorsey, or
no, it's about the Super Bowl and stuff. Dude,
Cody's gonna be disappointed. Dude,
they do not. Cody, alone. Spoiler: there's not a John Dorsey appearance in episode six.
I thought about it more as I'm five episodes in. I feel like this documentary, and I've watched the fifth episode.
Okay.
I feel like this documentary is more a history of the Chiefs than it is about the three-peat. They mentioned the three-peat way less than they mentioned, like, this is where they were in the 70s. This is where they were in the 80s.
I mean,
this
the final episode is about the game.
Okay, so, like, the final episode will be... But, like, the series itself doesn't feel like it's just about the three-peat. It feels like they started...
Well, they said it was about... I think even from the beginning, if you read the initial, like, release, it said it's a history of the Chiefs and their quest for history, right?
And like, so, like... And I feel like it's focused less on the quest for history, maybe because they lost the game, maybe because that's not the material they had. I'm not sure. And so, but like, I only felt more emboldened as I watched more episodes, because I'm like, Alex was like, well, you just wanted to mention every person, no Pioli mention, no this, and which felt like hyperbolic at the time. They mentioned,
it's starting to get there for you.
They mention all kinds of players, man. They mentioned Daron Cherry's got three mentioned in this thing. You can't even bring up the guy who drafted
Mahomes.
He's
a Chiefs Hall of Famer.
I don't think you can tell the story of the Kansas City Chiefs without mentioning John Dorsey. I think it is an incomplete novel.
Yeah, I think
it's like ignoring
fans.
A chapter of the book.
So you would grade it as a B-, this documentary, then?
No, it's very well produced. Yeah, it's very well produced, very well put together.
That's a personal gripe. That has nothing to do with like the production value. And most Chiefs fans are gonna really like
it. It's very, very well done. It's very well done. I'd give it an A. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. We don't need to rehash the whole thing, but like, I will say, like, Daron Cherry's a Chiefs Hall of Famer, so of course he's going to get mentioned about the history of the team. But like, you know, there's
people who aren't Chiefs Hall of Famers who get mentioned. You know, kickers who, and like they mentioned, like you said, why would they mention the negative? They mentioned Belcher, they mentioned missed kicks, they missed field goals. They show all.
No, I didn't say don't mention the negative. I said the GM of we don't. Again, we're going to get back into this now.
No, you're right.
All I said was the GM that was there as the GM when they won the titles is going to get way more and majority of the attention than the guy that they fired. That's all. Anyway, let's go out to Arrowhead.
It was way more involved.
And hear from Andy Reid.
All right. As far as the injuries go, Felix strained that hamstring. Most likely he's going to go on IR here. So this evening or this afternoon. Jack Cochran has a knee bone bruise. He won't practice today. Driscoll won't practice. Mike Edwards, the hamstring strain, he won't practice. Nazi Johnson had a shoulder strain. He won't go today. Omar had the ankle sprain and kind of re-hurt it or something of that sort. And then Jalen Royals has a knee tendonitis, and he'll be out today. So other than that, everybody's going, and this will be very similar to a in-season Wednesday practice. Now that we're back here, it gives the guys kind of a dry run to see how the meeting schedule goes before for an in-season game and also practice goes. Anyways, with that, time cheers.
I know it's still a few days away, but did you anticipate the starters playing at least their game maybe a little bit more than usual?
Yeah, they'll start it off for sure, and then we'll see how it goes from there. Yeah.
You had the offensive line play some in this last one. Have you seen enough of what you'd like to see on that left side with the young guys, or how much more do you need to see?
I like how physical they're playing, that for sure. The more reps they get, I mean, the better, I think, for them. But I think they're doing a good job over there, yeah.
You still switch in philosophy to go from 2 to 3 with the starters. What went into that?
I wanted to give the best look we could to these guys that are trying to make the team. We've got some guys that are right on the border of making it. Give them a shot. Yeah. And I wanted to see the quarterback work with the one offensive line. Yeah.
India, no, you said it's expected that he'll be placed on IR, but if that's the case with Felix and that ending the season, just how disappointing is that for him entering, obviously, year three?
Yeah, that's a tough thing. I mean, that's, you know, he's worked hard, so we'll see where it goes. I can't tell you how long it's going to be, but any time for that is disappointing for him, I know, because he works so stinking hard.
Coach, we always ask you about Josh Simmons, but we're going to get him here shortly. At 2 preseason games, body of work of camp, what is your evaluation of him as you prepare for the regular season?
Yeah, no, listen, I like the way he's approached it. Herbie, he's worked at it. He hasn't missed a beat here as far as missing a day or any of that, so he's been available. And he's working with Coach Heck on getting better every day. So I like where we're at right now, but we got to keep going. You know, he's a young guy, but he's been working his tail off. Yeah.
And with Kingsley, go ahead. Same thing with Kingsley.
I tell you the same thing. Yeah, Kingsley's moved into a new position, and those two they got a little something going there that you can see it more in the run game right now, where they're really working well together. And then the pass game, both of them are kind of feeling that part out, but they're doing a good job with it. We've been able to get some games in there against them. I thought they handled that well last week, some of the blitz stuff, you know. So Kingsley had a couple trip up where the back stepped up and he tripped over somebody's foot there, you know, back's foot. But other than that, he did a pretty good job there.
Are the challenges there going to be more technique individually with those guys, or is it going to be that communication and, you know, picking up some of the complicated twists and complex movements?
Yeah, well, they've been working double time on that, so we'll see how it goes with the game part of it and that. But then, yeah, talking through everything, they're going to see some new things for both of them, and you know, how they handle that. We'll see how it goes when we get there with it.
When you go into a season with a rookie left tackle, with a guy left guard who's never played, was this just part of the process you knew was going to be part of the process going into it?
Yeah. So you're in this thing long enough, you're going to have changeover, and you're going to have young guys that have got to step up and they got to play. So he's a talented kid and wants to be good and is working at it. Both of them are that way. You know, both of them are high draft picks. So you got to get in and you got to go. And you're going to live with a few things. But you expect to see constant growth as you go. And similar to what we did with the secondary a few years ago, you know, a lot of young guys. And early it wasn't quite as pretty as it was at the end. So, yeah.
With Kingsley, you get a lot thrown in last year, coming to the National Football League, making the position change. We just see what we see, a little bit we watch in the practice field and what we see in the games. What are you seeing from him that you like, the meetings, attitude-wise, and all that stuff for this challenge?
Yeah, Kingsley's a sharp guy. He's quiet, but he's a sharp guy. And he, you know, he's welcomed in this left tackle, and they're trying to work that thing together. And at the same time, him doing his job, moving from tackle to guard. But I like the way he handles himself in meetings. He's grown in that area, just attention to detail, all those things. I think it was good for him last year to get in there.
Doomed.
You're listening to Andy Reid here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, the big news at the beginning, Felix Anudike Uzomah likely headed to IR with a hamstring strain. That would end his season.
Over the weekend news on Rashee Rice, have you heard from the league? And how do you prepare for this unknown period?
Yeah, well, we know, you know, we've heard about the hearing part of it, that part. But then they've got to work all that out. I don't know the details of it. I don't think anybody does right at this minute. So we'll see where it all goes. But we just, you know, when we hear, we'll do what we have to do, you know. So
Nate?
Andy, what would you like to see this week out of Hollywood Brown? And is there a chance he could be out there on Friday just to give one sort of dress?
Yeah, so Hollywood did a little work yesterday, and which was good. He'll get a little bit more today. And then we'll just see. We'll see how he progresses through this thing. So, but he wants to. It's not a matter of wanting to be out there. He wants to do it. It's just taking it slow. So we don't want any setbacks with this thing going forward here.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
All right, so that was Andy Reid. Felix Anudike Uzomah, hamstring strain, likely ahead of the IR. We'll react to that a little bit. Plus, Nazee Johnson's got a strained shoulder. Jalen Royal's knee tendonitis, not expected to practice today. Andy did say the starters are expected to play some on Friday night in the Chiefs' preseason finale, the only preseason game at home at Arrowhead against the Chicago Bears. So up next, let's get to what's trending. Let's react a little bit more to what he had to say there about Felix and what that means for his career, plus this defensive line in 2025.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.